Welcome to the ASC Podcast with John Gailey, a weekly podcast for anyone interested in the freestanding ambulatory surgery industry. This week's episode is sponsored by Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies, a full-service regulatory compliance consulting firm serving the ambulatory surgery industry, and Eden Group Development, publisher of the ASC Regulatory Compliance series of books by John Gailey.
Welcome to episode 10 of the ASC podcast with John Gailey for the week of March 5th, 2018. I am one of your co-hosts, Sue Cronkite, here in our studios outside Rochester, New York. This week, I will join our other co-host, Jenna Alvarez, and of course, the man on the letterhead, John Gailey, for another week of news and commentary about the freestanding ambulatory surgery center industry. Jenna will join us later, but I have John here to talk about the news. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Sue. It's great to have you joining us here on the podcast. Before we get into the news, why don't you tell our audience a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, like Jenna, I am a senior nurse consultant at Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies. I am AHS's newest hire. I've only been on for about 2 weeks now, and I'm still just part-time. I should be working up to full-time within a few months. Like Jenna, I will be responsible for policies and procedures for our clients, and working with the quality improvement plans, planning meetings, gathering data, and of course, writing minutes, and generally making sure our clients are always on top of their quality program.
You know, whenever I hear you or Jenna talk about your job, I'm not so sure that it makes it sound terribly exciting, but I know you guys enjoy it, but hopefully our audience understands the importance of what we do, and even though it might sound somewhat boring, it certainly is a very important part of all the work that has to be done in an ambulatory surgery center.
Well, I'm so definitely excited to be here.
Great to have you on board. As this show has progressed, as you know, Sue, we have learned that gathering content, even for a 30-minute weekly show, is no easy task. Sue, you've been one of our best researchers and have really helped us with gathering the content. So we decided to add you to the on-air talent since you were writing most of the content that we were talking about on the air. So welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
While we're on the topic of the podcast itself, let me point out that we are slowly dealing with our technical issues here. For example, we have these great microphones in front of us and great software that controls the podcast itself, but we're just really kind of just learning how to use it. So I'm afraid we've had some false starts here as we've learned to put these podcasts together. Most of our recordings sound pretty good, I think, but it certainly takes a lot of work to get to that point.
Yeah, well, all I can say is there's a lot of equipment here. I've seen operating rooms with less equipment than we have in the studio.
I know. I do a lot of public speaking, as we all know, and I'm used to those small lavalier microphones I have on my jacket. And here we have these huge microphones, these booms standing in front of us and these pop filters in front of our faces. And it's taken a lot of getting used to, let's put it that way. The other problem, of course, is we have no audience in front of it. So I'm sitting here looking at you, and I'm used to looking at 300, 400 people. I'm afraid it still will be a while before I'm totally used to this.
And it's all new to me, so bear with me, and I appreciate it.
That's great. Well, you sound great on the air here, and I'm looking forward. Jenna, of course, has been good here. She's been with us pretty much from the very beginning, and I think the quality of our podcasts are improving. Please, audience, please bear with us as we continue to add content and as we continue to move forward. So why don't we move on to the news?
Well, as pretty much everyone in the ASC industry knows, USA Today published an article on Friday that claimed that a push for higher profits in ASCs had led to a quote-unquote trail of death. Fortunately for the industry, the article was poorly written and has not gained a lot of traction. Nonetheless, we should probably talk about it since our patients may have seen it, and it will also remain as a search finding for patients who may be researching safety in ASCs at a later date. So, John, you were able to get an email with some advice on how to handle an upset patient pretty quickly after the article was released. What are your thoughts on the article?
So, Sue, as you said, we got an email out mid-afternoon or mid-morning, I believe, after the article was published to our clients, just giving them some advice. We were actually concerned that patients might actually be watching television in the surgery center and watch this news article as they were preparing for surgery, or certainly those that had seen the morning news might come in. So We gave them some advice. We made sure that they were aware of the article being out there so they weren't caught unaware. interestingly, this article was really just a series of anecdotes, and I believe that they were all stories involving current and active lawsuits. There were no interviews of ambulatory surgery centers. There's no real data in there, no hard data. There was no perspective. They didn't put the number of procedures into perspective with the number of outcomes. That I think the article listed 260 adverse events over 5 years, but to put that in perspective, during that same time frame, ambulatory surgery centers did 200 million procedures. And how many adverse events would have occurred in a hospital outpatient department over that same time frame, and how many procedures would they have performed? So there was also no discussion about what's going on in the office space, which is a highly unregulated area right now, which would in itself be kind of an interesting article. And I thought also it was interesting that there's this whole discussion about 911. And we all know that ambulatory surgery centers called 911 in order to transfer a patient after they've been stabilized to the hospital. But sometimes those ambulance crews have to wait a little bit while the patient continues to be stabilized. And let's also point out that most of the transfers to a hospital are non-urgent. They're not as a result of some type of a bad thing that happened in the surgery center, but emergent things such as somebody suddenly, during the pre-op phase, us recognizing the patient might have had some type of a cardiac event going on that really needed to have some treatment in a hospital before the surgery can be done. So my concern here is that there was an implication that an EMT crew could actually provide better care to a patient rather than the doctors and the highly trained nurses that are all involved in the aftercare here. And as we all know, what doctor, what nurse is going to turn that care over to a lesser trained individual such as an EMT than the people that we have in our staff?
Yeah, well, then that speaks to the issue of the article being written by people that really don't understand the issues they're writing about, such as a 911 issue. And also, you know, again, they just really didn't research or consider what they were writing about. The ASC Association responded pretty quickly, though, to the article. And William Prentice, Chief Executive Officer of ASCA, made some comments, and I'll quote that. By focusing their story on a relatively small number of tragic errors, while ignoring the overwhelming beneficial outcomes found in ASCs, they have created a false and misleading narrative about the safety and efficacy of outpatient surgery. And really what this comes down to is by not putting the number of adverse events into context, this article misleads readers into thinking that ASCs have more adverse events than other sites of service when they actually have fewer. The implication that ASCs somehow pose a higher level of risk to patients they serve is false and unsupported by both data and the medical literature.
Right. And of course, we see this every day in ambulatory healthcare strategies where we deal with quality measures and working with our clients to document the high quality of care that we provide. And it's unfortunately to me, as I read this article, as I watched the feedback that came back on it, I really felt that this was another example, unfortunately, of the declining quality of the media reporting in America today. And fortunately for us, it seems like this article, because it was poorly written, poorly researched, really isn't gaining any traction. As a matter of fact, I went to the USA Today website this morning and searched for the article, and it doesn't show up in a search term. I mean, you can get it if you do a Google search, but it won't show up in a search term right on the website. So I don't know what that means. Maybe the poor research and writing appears to have caught up with it. However, my concern here is that we really can't ignore it because it does continue to show up in search terms, and patients are always doing research about the about surgery centers to make sure that they're going to have their care done in a very good environment. So I think let's continue to talk about it.
So John, you gave our clients some advice on how to deal with a patient who might have read the article and may have some concerns, or for that matter, might generally just be concerned with the safety in an ASC. Would you mind sharing some of that with our listeners?
Certainly. Well, here's what I recommended to our clients on Friday on how to deal with a patient. So first of all, I noted that, we need to note to our patients that ASCs are very heavily regulated, as we all know. And Medicare regulations in the ASC setting are actually stricter than those regulations in a hospital. We all know that. We deal with that on a daily basis. And if a center is accredited, then they've voluntarily subjected themselves to even higher standards than the Medicare or the licensure regulations that the organizations face. Secondly, is emergency. We need to reassure them emergency equipment is readily available and it's checked daily. We know those checklists. We prepare a lot of those checklists. We monitor those checklists and we make sure that, you know, that our that they you know, they're followed up on as part of the quality improvement program. Also, that the staff are highly trained and that regularly perform drills to assure the continued competency in the emergency response. Lastly, I just kind of pointed out that you really don't want to merit, you don't want to argue the merits of the article, nor dismiss the patient's concerns. Reassure them that the ASC has all the resources to take care of an emergency and that the staff meet regularly to discuss quality issues and find ways to improve the patient experience and outcome. And if the patient continues to be concerned about it, my recommendation is not to force the issue, to let them, you know, let the patient decide if they feel that they want to have more time to think about it or want to have the care in another location. We really have to respect their, obviously, we have to respect their wishes and move on. A nervous patient coming into our center who has concerns about it, obviously, is going to be a lot higher risk anyway of a complication simply because they're not going to be totally confident in the care that's being provided to them.
Well, so what if we act out a scenario with a patient during our middle segment today?
I think that's a great idea.
So there are a few more things we want our listeners to know about. Becker's ASC had an article by Laura Dierda, 11 ASC Quality Statistics for Quarter 3, 2017. The data was from the ASC Quality Collaboration Quality Report numbers based on data from 1,484 ASCs. The data covers 566 single specialty and 918 multi-specialty ASCs. Key findings in the data include patient fall rate, 0.122 per 1,000 admissions, burn rate, 0.019 per 1,000 admissions, all-cause hospital transfers and admissions, 0.955 per 1,000 admissions, wrong site, side, patient, procedure, or implant, 0.032 per 1,000 admissions, prophylactic IV antibiotic timing, 99% of ASC admissions, appropriate surgical site hair removal, 94%, eligible ASC patients with normothermia, 98%, cataract surgery patients with unplanned anterior vitrectomy, 0.44%, toxic anterior segment syndrome rate, 0.31 per 1,000 anterior segment surgery patients. All-cause emergency department visits within one day of discharge, 0.69 per 1,000 admissions, and all-cause unplanned hospital admissions within one day of discharge, 0.36 per 1,000 admissions.
I think it's interesting, those statistics, though they were kind of boring to read, I'm sure, were certainly indicative of the high quality of care that we provide. So you can get that data at ascquality.org if you want to see the raw stuff. You know, Sue, what we do with many of our clients who don't participate in ongoing benchmarking is we use this as part of our benchmarking to be able to compare our current statistics against the national database. So this is really a good source. So that's ascquality.org. I also wanted to mention ASCA 2018 registration. All of our team members are going to be at ASCA 2018 in Boston, so make sure you visit us. We'll probably be doing a live podcast from there also. That's if we can get all this equipment down there. That'll be fun. So this year's conference is going to be in Boston, Massachusetts at the Heinz Convention Center. It's going to be April 11th through the 14th. It is, as we all know, the nation's leading conference for ambulatory surgery center professionals. I serve on the education committee. We really feel like we have a great show this year for everybody. Early registration, unfortunately, ended last week, so much for that $100 discount. But you can still register online at www.ascassociation.org. That's www.ascassociation.org. Also, I wanted to end the ASCA. We have a webinar coming up. I think it's tomorrow on March 6th. It's called Managing an Adverse Event. Again, seems to be a pertinent topic here. Mm-hmm. It's Tuesday, March 6th, 2018 at 1 p.m. The speaker is Michelle George. She's an RN, MSN, CASC, and Vice President of Clinical Services for Surgical Care Affiliates. It's good for 1 hour of AEU or CEU. CE credit, and the overview is, though rare in ASCs, an adverse event can impact your patients and physicians' perceptions of your care and of the care that your ASC provides, and negatively impact the center's quality measure performances and drive up the cost of care for your patients. So this webinar will help people to determine how to follow up on adverse events. So I think that's it for the news right now. Why don't we take a short break, and we'll come back for a scenario like we promised about how a receptionist or the staff would deal with a patient that's kind of upset.
Okay, sounds good.
Good morning, Mrs. Archer. It's nice to see you again. Can we start with your photo ID and insurance card?
Young lady, I'm very concerned about all of this. Have you seen the paper today? I think I want this to be done in an actual hospital.
Well, actually, yes, Mrs. Archer. I did see the article. I can see you're very upset. Let me take you back and we can address your concerns in a more private manner. Here, Mrs. Archer, have a seat right here. Now, I could bring the doctor in to go over any concerns you might have about your diagnosis for this procedure. Your diagnosis is very clear, and this procedure is very safe. That's why it was recommended that it can be done on an outpatient basis. Maybe I can dispel some of your concerns.
I doubt it. That article told me all I needed to know. I mean, do you remember what happened to poor Joan Rivers?
I do remember, and that was a tragic incident, but let me reassure you that it was a very isolated incident.
Not according to that article. Did you see all the people that died?
I did, but that article left out quite a bit, like all of the high-quality, high-value outcomes occurring in centers just like this one.
But it said that more than 250 people died in just the last 5 years.
It did, but did you know that there were more than 200 million safely performed procedures at surgery centers during that same time period?
Well, no, I didn't. But you never know if something could go wrong, and then what happens to me?
Mrs. Archer, did you know that there are agencies that track all these types of things? For example, ASCQuality.org reports that a hospital transfer happens in less than one case per thousand. We know here that many of those transfers are actually patients that haven't even had surgery yet, but were transferred because the patient had a previously unknown cardiac issue that we wanted to have evaluated before the procedure.
Well, the article says that no one keeps track of that kind of stuff.
Well, Mrs. Archer, that part of their article is probably not very well researched. Surgery centers are required to track a variety of statistics and report various statistics to their state and to Medicare. Unfortunately, the authors of the story chose to write about a small number of tragic errors. They said nothing about the millions of good outcomes found in centers like ours.
Well, you might be right. I could be overreacting, but how can you blame me?
No, I can't blame you. I know how you feel, but I want you to know that centers like ours have been around for decades. They began because medical science had come so far in surgical techniques and pain management that not only could a patient go home the same day, but it was far better for them.
Well, that makes sense, I guess. I don't want to spend time in a hospital.
So how about if I bring the doctor in and you can ask him some of these questions?
Well, you've done a good job, but I would like to speak to him.
Mrs. Archer, I was looking forward to seeing you today. How are you feeling?
To be honest, better than when I first walked in. Your office staff is very understanding, but I have to let you know how much this article upset me.
Oh, that. I saw that, too. It was awful. No wonder you're worried. What can I do to help?
I want you to tell me that nothing will go wrong.
Well, Mrs. Archer, I can't do that. All surgery has risk, no matter where it's performed. But let me tell you this. My staff and I work really hard here so that we are completely prepared for an emergency. We do education, we do drills, we practice. We never want anything to happen, but we want to be sure we know exactly what to do in case it does.
Well, that is reassuring. I think I'm feeling better.
I'm glad. Ready to get this show on the road? I promise I'll take really good care of you.
Great. I'm ready. Thank you.
producing sponsor for the ASC podcast with John Gailey is Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies, and I'm here with owner John Gailey to talk a little bit about the company and its services. John, can you give us an overview of your services?
Sure. First of all, I need to emphasize that AHS, as we're best known, is not a management company. We don't take any ownership interests, we don't have long-term contracts, and we don't take a percentage of profits or revenues. Most of our business is actually what we call retainer-based, which means it's a fixed fee for the services that we offer. We work with our clients to help them to keep up with all the regulatory requirements. Takes a lot of we try to take a lot of the regulatory burden off of their hands. We like to say to our clients, you concentrate on providing quality care to the patient, we'll concentrate on keeping you up to date on regulations and how you need to meet them.
So what type of services do you provide?
Well, we tailor our services to each of our clients, but most clients want the following: maintenance of the policy and procedure manual, oversight of the quality improvement program, including assisting in gathering data, preparing for meetings, and writing up the minutes. We also develop educational programs. We perform mock surveys on a regular basis, prepare them for surveys, and do the follow-up after a survey. Lastly, we work closely with the other committees, including the governing body. We can even assist in running the governing body meetings and writing the minutes.
Thanks, John. So what are the next steps for listeners if they want to learn more?
Well, call me directly at 585-594-1167 or go to our website at ah-strategies.com and go to the Contact Us link. The website also has a lot more information about what we do.
Okay, after a short break, we'll take a question.
Welcome back. Here is our question for the week. What are the requirements for clinical supervision in an ASC? We have a very experienced physician's assistant who we would like to put in charge of the nursing staff. Is this permissible in an ASC?
Well, thank you very much for the question. So the Medicare conditions for coverage and the interpretive guidelines are very specific about this. So the condition for coverage that's applicable is 416.46, which is for nursing service. And the condition states, the nursing services of the ASC must be directed and staffed to assure that the nursing needs of all patients are met. And the interpretive guidelines, which you might recall, are the guidelines that are provided to surveyors when they survey Medicare certified organizations, state the following. The ASC must assure that the nursing service is directed under the leadership of an RN, that is registered nurse. The ASC must have documentation that it has designated a specific RN to direct nursing services. There must be sufficient nursing staff with the appropriate qualifications to assure the nursing needs of all ASC patients are met. This implies that there is ongoing assessment of the patient's needs for nursing care and that identified needs are addressed. The number and types of nursing staff needed will depend on the volume and types of surgery the ASC performs. Now, also note that most or many state ASC regulations also has something to say about this. So this also brings up another point, Sue, and I know you're a nurse, but one of the things that we need to remember when we're doing when we're evaluating the roles of nurses in the organization is the Nursing Practice Act, and really encourage administrators and nurse managers to review the Nursing Practice Act for each of the states in which they operate to make sure that they're following those. This has become an issue lately, especially in litigation, where nurses have been acting outside of their scope of service, which is defined in the Nursing Practice Act, as well as the various other individuals that a nurse might supervise, such as an LPN or a scrub tech. And recently, there's been issues coming up with radiation techs also practicing outside of their scope of service. So please make sure that in your organization, you keep track of the scope of services for all of those various positions in your organization and that you follow them very closely.
Okay, thank you everybody for joining us. We'd like to thank Judy, who wrote the script for today's scenario. And thanks, Jenna, for joining us at the end here. I know you haven't been feeling well, so thanks for coming through. This is Sue Cronkite and John Gailey. Don't forget to tell your friends about this podcast and push the subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode. Join us again next week for another episode of the ASC Podcast with John Gailey.
This podcast is an educational and operational tool and is not intended to be a comprehensive resource for all the rules, regulations, and standards that an ambulatory surgery center must meet. The advice provided should not be considered as, nor does it constitute, legal advice or opinion. When reviewing specific situations involving legal and regulatory issues, attorneys and other professionals should be consulted. This has been a production of Eden Group Development, all rights reserved. We would like to thank this week's sponsors, Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies, one of the nation's leading regulatory compliance and financial oversight firms. For a free consultation, contact John Gailey today at 585-594-1167 or through email at info@ah-strategies.com. Our other sponsor today is Eden Group Development, which publishes ASC Regulatory Compliance Series, the ASC industry's leading books, including The Survey Guide for ASCs, a guide to the CMS conditions for coverage, and interpretive guidelines for ambulatory surgery centers, and Ambulatory Surgery Center Governance, a guide for ambulatory surgery center owners and governing body members. These must-have books are available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble or directly from the publisher at reg-books.com. That's reg-books.com. If you are interested in advertising or sponsoring the ASC podcast with John Gailey, please email us at info@ascpodcast.com. We would love to hear your questions and comments. Please email us at comments@ascpodcast.com.